Shape of Cthulhu presents A Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Curse of Cthulhu by Keith Herber.
This button, there we go. So I know not too much happened last week, but perhaps just a quick 30-second summary or so to catch Rory up as he wakes up and finds himself in Buffalo instead of Salem. Looking around a little confused. Wondering why he's eating some very fabulous cookies and not entirely certain what has happened.
Okay, so at the beginning of last session, we were still at the apartment complex. Rory had been incapacitated and was in our van, and Lucy was also tied up in the van, and she was speaking gibberish. A big man came running up to the van as it was pulled over on the side. Elliot went out to talk to him, find out what he wanted. It's a big guy who said he was Lucy. Lucy took over his body. This is Mercy Booth took over Lucy's body. And about that time, how did Lucy get out? She turned her blue light. Yeah, she died. yeah. So the blue light left. And we got Mercy's body in the van now. We got Rory. There was some kind of going back to the hotel, and we realized that was back to the hotel and back to the apartments, and we realized that was a larger conflagration than we thought it was. And thousands of people have been affected, possibly killed, possibly Niagatha. Something called Niagatha was unleashed. Huge fires. And we reduced Lucy's body to ashes or to essential salts in an attempt to save her. I think Rory stayed tied up this whole time, sleeping peacefully. And the next morning, as we were wondering what our next move was, Oren got a call from someone named Irene Lamont, who said her son Paul gave her this number here in the hotel in Providence, or in Salem when we live in Providence. And said to call if there was trouble or something. So we hopped in the van and drove up to New York or to Buffalo, New York to meet her at Denny's, talked to her, went over, had fabulous cookies in the living room, and discovered Paul's childhood journal, which didn't have a whole lot of information for us. And we talked to the doctors at the psych ward, eventually broke into the psych ward. We have a lead that Paul left the psych ward when he was younger after being checked in with a Clarence Rogers, who was a fellow patient. They went all around the world and sent his mom lots of trinkets from around the world, just odd things. And when he came back, he got a job in New York. So the principals –
I think the stuff in her apartment is from New York, from his heyday of being a rich dude.
Okay.
More than not from his travels.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. That does ring a bell. Yeah.
And that's what she would say as well. Were you to, you know, bring mm-hmm. up the, ooh, that's kind of a, yeah. You know, my son, you know, very successful. He buys me these things. That sort of thing.
Right. I don't remember, and I'm kind of skimming. Did Paul get killed, or is he just disappeared right now? Do we know?
No, he's missing.
He's missing.
We don't know. Yeah, and there's a couple theories that the police have. One is that he ran away, and the other is that his girlfriend and manager colluded to either kidnap him or kill him to get life insurance money.
Yeah, that's the one his mom has settled on too, I think. So we've got his mother as a lead, which I think is just about dried up. The hospital, the sanitarium in Buffalo that he was temporarily incarcerated in. And then in New York, we have his girlfriend and Herb Whitfield, his manager, where he was a very successful medium, right? And yeah. So
possibly the police, possibly his apartment. Yeah.
Right.
Can I just add one thing in? So Rory did well by burning things down.
You did well. Well, I think I, in the attempt to gloss or to summarize quickly, I glossed over just how much damage occurred. When I
Didn't
say
an entire city block end up destroyed?
Yes, yes. There was an entire city block destroyed. I think it may be thousands dead, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't just a city block. It was more like half a dozen city blocks.
Yeah.
And we don't think it was Rory directly, but that there was a little bit of a force multiplier going on there in the way of this Nyagoth or Nyagoth or whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Rory started it.
Yes.
Let's just say we didn't get any sand bonus for having successfully completed our mission in that chapter.
Wasn't there a loose monster or something like that in the fire?
The monster – oh, yeah, there were also individual monsters running around. We heard scattered gunfire. And at one point, everybody went back to the – graveyard to try to go back in through the tunnels and deal with things, but there was a collapsed tunnel and whatever. There was a lot of mayhem going on that we were the cause of all of it. Thanks, Rory.
Hence, leaving town.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Having destroyed a second town, we have moved on.
Perfect.
So now the question
is thinking about the possibilities in New York.
Well, you have Buffalo available to you at the moment.
That's true. They might leave Buffalo standing.
We better cover our tracks. Let no one know we're here.
Rory can cover tracks very well.
That's true. That's true. Are you caught up enough there, Gary? I mean, like I said, I'm sorry. I kind of skipped over a lot of stuff. Does that make enough sense to you? Okay.
So when we pick it up, you are in the outskirts of Buffalo, New York, in Irene Lamond's house. She did get a hard success on her Bake Great Cookies skill, so they are very good, along with
That's awesome.
some pleasant tea. And
this is the next morning. The next morning after our sanitarium break-in, right?
Oh, that's right. That's right. We kind of summarized that. You guys aren't in Irene's house. You'd left. Yes, gone to the hotel, broke into the sanitarium that night. So next morning, back in the hotel.
She's very motherly, though. Maybe she sent us with some cookies.
I'm sure she did. Yep.
Yes. All right.
Well, I guess we're visit hospital. Check. See who Clarence Rogers is. Fail. Read Paul's stuff. We have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's time to head to New York, maybe.
Yeah. The question is, we can talk on the way, I guess.
Somebody let me go. You know, untie me.
I'm going to roll psychology on him. Yep, seems fine. Oh, you're up, Rory. You must be hungry.
You weren't stuck there for a while, buddy. I know how that feels.
Who's this weird guy?
It's me, Lucy.
That's Lucy.
Now, Lucy was this female.
You got to roll with the punches.
You're very observant there.
Okay, so have you got a singing voice?
Have I got a what?
Singing voice.
A singing voice? You mean for the band?
Yeah.
It's punk, man. I can make it happen.
Cool.
I like your priorities.
The band lives on.
That's right. Yeah, I think we should get fed and head down.
It sounds good. So it sounds like I've missed out on a lot. All I remember last thing was burning that body underneath the apartment. How did that go?
Yeah, that went. It woke something up. Something destroyed. Well, we don't know actually if your fire woke something up or if Lucy something, the witch there, she woke something up probably. And that something ate Salem. Several blocks of it.
Oh, okay.
It was a mess.
Does Rory have to roll for send, Ross, for that?
Is there a point? I think we can gloss over that. So yeah, you can walk across the street to, or walk across the parking lot to Denny's, get some breakfast.
By the way, now and then you'll see Rory playing with his lighter.
Oh, good. Just never know when we'll need it.
Yes.
But that's probably always true.
Yeah, that's right. So, what do you guys want to do as far as plan of attack priority? We're going to split up again? Should we? We got the manager, the girlfriend, the policeman, police report, maybe newspapers. I don't know. I think his apartment would be the best logical step. Right?
I think that'd be a good place to start, although Nick, you'd think the cops would have searched that place pretty good, right?
Oh, I don't know. Depends on how bored they were that day. I mean, doesn't hurt to check again. Not all of my brethren in blue are thorough.
All right.
Did you want to have a chat with the New York cops? Or do you want to save that for later, or just maybe too far out of your sphere of influence?
I mean, I can try, but I'm not a cop right now. I'm not sure how much they're going to care.
Yeah.
So we need to break into an apartment, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not burn it down.
Say we're going to go and find out what's there in the papers about these guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can certainly read the papers and maybe talk to a reporter even. There might be some reporter who's got a fun angle.
Sometimes the library.
Well, or the newspaper.
I'll be interested in going back into the apartment.
Go directly there. The reporter.
It seems like we could get a bunch of back papers, and then if there's somebody that looks interesting, we could go to that newspaper and talk to a reporter.
Yeah.
But yeah, we could start at the library and look through the last couple weeks of news about him, probably.
We got his manager.
Oh, we could go to a barber shop and do that.
Oh, yeah. We got, I was going to say the manager and the girlfriend, but I don't know if we want to approach them directly or watch them if the police think they're suspects.
I mean, Lucy, you could use to get that mohawk trimmed up a little better.
That's true.
Maybe get some color put in it.
There we go. Now you're talking. A little checkerboard thing going. I like it.
Yeah.
Did you decide what you want to be called?
Just call me Loose. That sounds like a reasonable nickname.
Loose? That's a nice nickname. Or a descriptor.
I think of it as me loosely moving between bodies.
Loosely Lucy. All right, cool.
Okay.
There's a song in that, I think.
Probably. I'm interested in breaking into the apartment.
Of course you are.
That was awesome.
If anyone now, ideally, this is not a bash down the door kind of break in.
No. Pull that instead of lockpicks. No, yeah. Do it the subtle way. Hey, not that silly.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So you get frustrated.
Oh, actually, so, I can use lockpicks. I just remembered.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. So as you guys are driving to New York, it will take you, basically the day. You'll be there this evening. Mr. Weston, would you make 2 intelligence rolls, please?
2 intelligence rolls. Okay. A 0.5 is an extreme first one.
Finally.
And a 42 is a hard success on the second one.
Very good.
No, it's not. Just a regular success on the second one.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Okay, just a second.
No, I'll burn 7 and make it a hard success.
There you go.
That's our boy.
Well, at least for now.
Yeah.
just a second. Message coming to you. Oops. Okay, there you go. Okay. The drive is uneventful. You roll into New York City, cross the bridge into Manhattan, and there you are.
We got to get some gigs here. This is where it's at. Okay.
And we get a little voice.
Well, you are a punk band. I expect lots of noise.
Yeah. So, I guess we can go maybe. So,
drive by CBGB's on the way to the apartment.
We need some cheap place to crash. Maybe the Y.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Y.
Yep, you can certainly head uptown and find a Y, and they will offer rooms for the men anyway.
I think they have the other
YWCA
wing. My memory is they had 2 wings.
There is a place for women a block or so over. Yes. That they refer Miss McEwen to.
All right.
Come on, let's go.
Jeez, I've lost my roommate.
Yeah, this will be an experience. Oh, God.
We're talking of losing massive sun loss.
Yeah.
We're getting paid, right? Right, Oren?
Well, there's a $2,000 reward I saw. Right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Well,
all right.
You're a bit quiet back there, Oren. How are you doing with those books?
Processing.
Did you find anything to help me?
Not yet.
I'm still looking. All right. Did you find anything about Mercy?
No. Nothing that we have don't already know.
All right. Counting on you, Oren. You can do it, buddy.
Okay. Who wants to come with me to the apartment?
I would.
I will.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Okay.
I guess, you know, some of us can wait in the van outside the apartment.
Why don't we go, you know, like they were saying, like a hair place or something, and look at some old newspapers and then go off to the, find a reporter's name. Maybe if we can find, you know, an old article about it or something, and then go maybe talk to them at the newspaper.
Makes sense. Okay.
So Lucy and Elliot are going to the hairdressers and perhaps the reporter?
Yeah, that's the idea.
And Rory, Lionel, and who were going to the apartment?
Oren.
Okay.
And Kimberly, I think.
Yep.
And Kimberly. Yeah.
All right. So I guess
four Nick people to sneak here.
Nick will go to the police then and just.
Well, I mean, okay.
Nick is pretty flexible. If you've got a better idea.
No. I was just going to say. I mean, you sounded like, well, I'm all by myself. But I mean, I was going to say we could make that part of our trip too. Or instead of the newspaper thing, if you wanted to do that, if you didn't want to be alone.
It's not hurricane. That. It's just it feels like large crowds of people moving from place to place are sort of obvious. And
yeah.
Weird. Yeah.
Much better to split up into as smaller groups as possible.
Exactly.
That's the gym philosophy.
Yes. I'll be going to Indiana, too, to do some research there.
Okay, so Mr. Dyer is going to the police. Miss McEwen, Mr. MacArthur, Mr. Cockrell to the apartment. Is that it?
Yep. And one more. MacArthur. Rory, Lionel, Oren, Kimberly. So.
Okay, so Oren is going.
Right, I'm on Mr. first names.
Yeah, no problem. okay, so Mr. Weston is going to the apartment as well. Okay.
Yep.
So, let us start with Mr. Wheeler and Mr. Peterson.
Ms. Mr. I like it.
Whatever pronoun you prefer, loose. you were headed to the barbershop to look at old newspapers, is that?
Yeah. Someone mentioned that. Yeah, we can go and just someplace to look at maybe some older article. We figured, you know how those places have old newspapers laying around and stuff. We thought maybe we could find something written about, I've forgotten the principal's name now. We got on our side conversations. Lamond, that's it, Lamond. Yep. So something about Paul Lamond. I probably won't learn anything new from the article, but maybe we will. And at the very least, we'll get a reporter's name off of the top. And, those places are always good for conversation. We can talk about that kind of stuff, too, if nothing turns up in to be physically – if no copy is there, we can talk about what's been in the papers, who's been writing it, stuff like that.
Okay, you can certainly
check the social section and see if there's anything else there that we can find about these guys. Like, what was he doing, just before he went missing?
Okay, you can certainly find an appropriate kind of place somewhere in Midtown, which will... has a loud punk music blaring from it, and very clearly from both the staff and the customers, They know how to do mohawks and spikes and all the other good stuff you're looking for.
Perfect, perfect.
Piercing station in the back.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe some of those, yeah.
Tattoo parlor on both sides. Kind of one-stop shopping.
And they're never coming out.
Yeah, full service. Yeah. I was thinking we'd be done before everybody, but maybe not now.
And there are some, stacks of old newspapers going back quite a ways. How about a library use?
Okay. Elliot, what do you got? Okay, roll. Oh, 91 is going to fail.
No, I'll figure it.
Okay.
It's hard to concentrate on the newspapers with the loud music playing and all the people talking. And
that's true.
Trying to pick out a new hairstyle and pondering the flash in the windows next door.
Any luck with the? I don't know. I can make some kind of roll for the conversation. You know, trying to turn the. With the other people there or the people doing it, you know, you keeping up with this occult thing? With Paul Lamond, you know that guy?
How about a party luck roll?
Oh, God. I'm a 27.
For party of two.
You go.
All right.
You get 99.
Lucy is dropping quickly in her luck. Oh! No, wait. That's an 03. Not a 30. I thought I had just missed it, but no, nice. Nailed it.
So most of the people there that if you bring up Lamond, they just kind of look at you blankly and go, "What? That's for squares, man." There is one girl there who is like, "Oh yes, I'm such a fan. I love his program. I watch it every day. I've read all his books. Oh, I hope they find him okay."
Yeah, I know. It's really worried about him. It's I was trying to. We've been we don't have a lot of coverage out where we're from, and I was hoping to maybe read something about it or something. You know, like the paper. Do they have a regular section or someone who covers that stuff?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I've seen a few articles in the papers.
Yeah,
she grabs a few of them up and flips them open like this one here and this one here. And
perfect. It's like having a librarian.
and as you skim over them, you realize that they're the exact same articles that you read in Buffalo, and they're off of wire service.
Gotcha. Oh, so there's no no author listed.
There's no byline, correct?
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Elliot? Are these different papers probably too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dead end.
So dead ends.
Good movie.
So let's cut to Mr. Dyer.
Yes.
I believe you were headed to speak with the Fuzz.
Indeed. Now, I have no idea how I'm going to actually track down. I mean, it's got to be done by a specific district, blah, blah, blah. So I guess I'll figure out where his – we were told where his apartment was.
That is correct.
So I should be able to figure out which precinct is the local precinct.
That will not be a problem.
And then I will go there with a box of donuts in hand. Try to charm my way in. Apologies to anybody who feels that stereotyping.
The desk sergeant looks up. Yes, can I help you?
Ah, yes. I'm Nick Dyer, a former officer from Providence. I'm doing a little private investigating right now. I'm wondering if you could, if I could speak to the officer responsible for the Paul Lamond case.
Oh God, another PI. Just a moment. And he gets on the phone, and yeah, he'll be out in just a second.
Oh, great. Donut?
No, thank you. That's a terrible stereotype. I don't know how you cops up in Providence are, but here in New York, we take our job much more seriously.
Yeah, they want.
We don't eat.
Oh, I should have offered you money. Okay, got it. My bad.
A few minutes later, a kind of stocky, slightly overweight fellow in a loose fitting, rather unfortunate looking suit comes out.
Speaking of unfortunate stereotypes,
he'll take donut.
What can I do for you?
Hi, I'm Nick Dyer. I'm a former cop from the Providence area. I'm doing a little PI work. I'm wondering if you could if I could talk to you briefly about the Paul Lamond case.
Sure. He ran away. Don't know where he is.
Well, I mean, you've got to have some idea of where he is. I mean, some leads or anything unusual about this case? Anything that got your didn't sit right?
Where did you say you were from?
Well, I work for the Providence Police Department, but we're actually here on behalf of Irene Lamond, it's her son who's missing.
Oh, yeah, I know Irene. I've talked to her. That woman just won't accept the truth. I think her son just ran away. Couldn't deal with the fame. He was crazy before. He just had some kind of breakdown again. And he left.
So there's nothing unusual about this in your mind. It all seems pretty normal.
Yeah, some crazy rich guy gets famous, can't handle it, has a nervous breakdown, and he disappears for a few weeks. These things happen. It happens all the time around here.
Well, it's unfortunate, but you know how this is. We gotta keep going just so she'll be feel like she's getting her money's worth out of us. Is there anybody else who you interviewed that we could talk to just so I could tell her we dotted the I's and slashed the T's? His girlfriend, his manager, anybody else we could get in touch with?
Yeah, well, you're welcome to talk to his manager. He's pretty Herbert Whitefield. He's pretty easy to find. He's got an office downtown.
Uh-huh. How about the girlfriend, Velma Peters?
Yep, that's the girlfriend. She's not really at liberty to give out her name and address, but...
Well, could you send her a message for us? Is that something? Donut?
Thank you, don't mind if I do.
Speaking of messages, subliminal kind.
Persuade roll?
With a bonus donut? I mean...
Something just happened to our. Is that just at my end, or is that everybody getting chewed up?
No, it's
I'm here.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry. Don't think I'm really at liberty to do that. But
all right, that's fine. Just one. That's fine. Just one question. Clarence Rogers is apparently a friend of his. The mother thinks he's a big deal. I mean, do you have any idea where he ended up? Could he be involved in this?
Clarence Rogers. I don't think that name's patient of his.
Well, he was a patient with Paul at the sanitarium when he was there, and.
Ah, that's all. Like in the past when he was crazy,
But crazy the mom, kid.
That's got nothing to do with this.
Well, I agree with you, but you know, we don't make her happy, we don't get that extra bonus. another donut?
Well, I don't get any extra bonus, so if you'll excuse me, I got work to do.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
And he disappears. So let's cut over to the other four.
Yep.
All right.
As you make your way to Palamon's apartment, it is near Central Park, kind of a swanky area. Not the swankiest of swanky areas, but, you know, within shouting distance.
So this sort of screams bellman and all that kind of stuff.
There is a doorman, yes.
So we might want to walk around the block once or twice and get a little handle on what we think's going on here. I mean, I'm sure you can get in the apartment, but we have to get to the apartment. That seems like the tricky part.
We could always knock him out.
No.
Let's keep that in backup, yeah?
Okay.
Spot hidden rolls?
Sure.
Make your way around the block a few times.
24.
10 is a hard success.
Hard success.
Zero, well. Wow.
Jesus.
Rory, attentive and always aware of his surroundings.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, so as you make your way around the block a few times, and are kind of scoping out the area and scoping out the building in particular, there are people. It is kind of it's a very large building, so there are kind of constantly people coming and going. And you do notice that the doorman really doesn't seem to be bothered by any of it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, he's kind of sitting at a desk. He's got his newspaper. You know, every once in a while he might look up, but you know, he never seems to talk to or engage with or really care about any of the comings and goings.
Let's go. You guys just follow me. I know how to get in, and just wander in and sort of give the guy a wave and just walk up to the lifts.
He completely ignores you.
All right.
Excellent.
So I guess we'll go up to his floor.
Yep.
Yep.
Elevator up to the appropriate floor. Find the appropriate door number. And there you are.
I will chat with Kimberly as Rory gets to work.
And I'll do a locksmith roll, and I roll a 0-4. With the 50% locksmith skill, that is an extreme success.
Door pops open nice and easy.
Wasn't even locked.
Glad we're not slamming that. Is there there's no police sticker or anything, right?
That is correct. There is not.
No crime. Cool. Yeah, I guess we'll go in. Hope it's empty.
Yeah. Rory, no fire.
Okay.
No fire, okay? Just give me that, actually, and I'll take his lighter from him.
Hey, no! I'll put it in my pocket. No, I'm keeping my lighter.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's case the place.
Yeah.
Okay, spot hidden rolls.
Spot hidden rolls. 25 is a normal success.
Normal success. 38.
So the apartment is fairly nice, nicely furnished. It is a three-room apartment. It's kind of a small apartment. You know, living room, kitchen, bedroom, small bathroom. You know, fairly tasteful. You can see kind of as you kind of wander around and are looking around, it looks like kind of things are generally out of order a little bit. You know, things have clearly been kind of moved and shuffled around, and you know, some books on bookshelves pulled out and not put back, and you know, mm-hmm. cushions pulled up and not, you know, really put back all of the way.
The first here.
So the police might have done a little bit of their job, but that's something. Or somebody did.
There is a on the kitchen counter. There is a notebook, which when you open it up, there is a letter, a handwritten letter, which appears to be of some interest, clearly, because there's a handout.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, we'll read it.
And doink, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Dear Mom, sorry to have been so long to write, but I've been very busy with all the bookings that Herb has gotten for me lately. The sessions really take a lot out of me, and I haven't been sleeping all that well. I'm afraid that I'm beginning to experience those same dreams again, the ones I suffered just before my attack of amnesia. It seems to be affecting my personality. I just don't seem to be able to get along with people like I might, and Velma and I have been fighting a lot. I know you don't care much for Velma, Mom, but she really is a wonderful girl, and I know she loves me. Later, so maybe the pen changes too. Later, just returned from Velma's apartment. I'm afraid we had another fight. She said she doesn't want to see me again. I told Herb about it, and he wants me to check into a hospital. He thinks I need a rest. I don't want to. I must see Velma, but I don't know if I can make it. The huge ferns wave in the wind outside my window. Beyond those are spired buildings. I don't remember the way. I'm afraid I'll get lost. I must see Velma, but the beast waits out there. Ooh.
Do
are these
see
dated?
Any huge ferns outside the window?
So that's all on a single sheet,
right.
And it's all written as a single contiguous letter.
But he wrote later. Wrote later.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like I stepped away for a couple days, and now I'm finishing my letter.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. There is no date on it, though.
Question: I want to search through his paperwork. Is there a letter from Velma?
There is not.
Or an address.
Well, that's a good question of whether there are actually ferns outside the window. Or any window.
No. There is the skyline of...
There's not like a potted plant there.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
Nope.
So we do know that he was in an alien gigantic city in a tropical jungle. So it seems like he, in his head, has gone back there.
Okay, so is there an address book? That's, I think, somebody said.
Nope.
So no Velma's address.
Is there anything worth nicking?
probably, yes.
Okay, he'll be filling his pockets.
And the notebook is... empty. It just has a letter tucked in it, but it's otherwise uninteresting.
Correct.
And we have sort of searched the whole apartment.
That is also correct.
All right.
It's very strange.
So he seems to have, yeah. So he might have just gotten lost. I mean, he might have just not know where he is and wandered out into the city, and who knows what happened.
Sounds like he's been inside.
Yeah, if he's seeing the jungle here and this beast, maybe the beast got him. Huh. And
I think going to his mother saying that will not get us the $2,000 reward.
Well, yeah, presumably somebody already read this letter. There's no... He doesn't have a new diary or anything like that in the house, and there's nothing from his foreign travels here. It's all you said. It's interesting that he buys himself tasteful stuff, whereas he buys his mother random crap. Maybe it was a pre-furnished apartment. But yeah, okay. Well, I guess if that's all there is in here, then in this apartment. It seems like we're going to have to find, well, I don't know if he would have talked to Velma and told her about this jungle.
Need to find this Velma.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should head back to the Y for the night, and we can tackle all this other stuff in the morning. It's been a long day.
Yeah, I've got what I came for.
I bet you do.
Head out the door.
Let's cut back to Mr. Wheeler and Ms. Peterson.
Yes. So I guess if it sounds like things have dried up at the hairdresser, although I look fabulous now. Well, I'm still a man, so not 100% happy with my look. But, you know, we can stop by a phone book and see maybe if we can look up Velma Peters.
Well, see if... Before you leave, as you're finishing up in the chair, the young lady who you had spoken to earlier comes up to you, and she is carrying a copy of the New York Post.
Oh, excellent.
And she, oh, I just saw this outside. I thought you might be interested. Take a look at the cover.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's pretty rad.
And there's a cover story. Aspiring actress Velma Peters dishes on missing boyfriend.
What the who? Now that the New York Post is going to have a byline. That's interesting. But yeah, is it just the headline, or do we get an article?
No, there is a picture of Velma looking. Vamping for the camera for all she's worth. In an article that the article seems to be a brief interview with Velma. And you kind of get from the tone of the article that she's more interested in talking about herself and her acting career than Paul. But she does kind of say that, you know, she doesn't know what happened to Paul. She misses him greatly. Oh, I hope he's found.
Elliot, what do you want to bet her manager is a Mr. Herb Whitefield?
I was thinking about trying to get an interview with him.
Yeah.
You know, we can say that we are we're filming. Let's see. We come here as reporters, and we bring our camera and we do a quick interview and we get it to talk.
Yeah. Does it have, like, she is represented by, like, something that might be thrown in the Variety as well? That type of thing, like where we might be able to look her up if we're looking for someone of her talent.
She does drop a hint in the interview that she is looking for representation.
Looking for representation. Okay. So, no real leads there. This is good. Okay. Thank you. This is awesome. This is great. So we'll take that with us. And, like I said, maybe we can still stop by the phone book and look that up and see if we can get an address on her there.
Hey, I didn't say you could have it. I'm not done reading it yet.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Thanks for the help, lady.
Was this from today?
Yes.
17?
Yep.
Okay. We can buy a newspaper on the way out. You know, as soon as we see one.
Pretty easy to find the post on the streets of Minneapolis.
We can share with the rest.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think the best approach, because approach is just crazy, you know. I'll say the best approach is to kind of set up an interview so that we read on the newspaper that we are falling on rising stars, and you know, get it to talk. Maybe we can get some information out of her.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let's we got to find her first, though. Did we? I'm sorry, I had a visitor there. I missed a minute or two. Did we get a chance to go by the phone book as well?
You can certainly stop by a payphone and flip through the white pages and find an address.
Perfect. Are we sure it's hers? Like the only one?
There's only one V. Peters. There's lots of Peters. There's only one V. Peters.
Perfect. I don't know if we have an address for from the mom for his manager, Herb Whitefield, but we can always look that up if we need to at this time, I'm sure.
You can look in the white pages and find a H. Whitefield, yes. Idea roll for both of you.
That's a failure for me. Pass.
Steve. I think we lost Steve again.
We lost Steve again.
We will cut away brief. We will cut away quickly back to Mr. Dyer.
You know, I don't have a plan B. I mean, so I guess I will go and try to find out where the manager is and find his office and maybe swing by there.
Well, he did say, and the detective did say he has an office downtown.
Yep.
And you can, since you're looking for it and you were kind of given some basic direction, you can check the yellow pages, and you do find an entry in the yellow pages for Herbert Whitefield Professional Management Services with an address in a office building downtown.
Okay. Well, I'm going to head down there then.
Okay. Let's cut back to quickly, Mr. Wheeler, Ms. Peterson. Steve, did you want to make an intelligence roll?
Yes. Sorry about that. Let's have a look. That is a 30. That's going to be, I think, a hard success.
Okay. Having checked the white pages for and found the address for H. Whitefield, it also occurs to you that since he is a professional, maybe he's in the yellow pages as well. And checking the yellow pages, you do find a entry in there for Herbert Whitefield Professional Management Services.
Excellent. Good.
With a different address from the one listed for in the white pages for H. Whitefield.
Excellent. So we've got the home and the business address, and we've got the girlfriend's, Miss Peters' address as well. Excellent.
So we will cut back to Rory and friends.
Yeah.
I thought we were just heading back to the...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're heading back.
Why?
Okay.
Why?
You can certainly make your way back to the why. Mr. Dyer.
I get to his office, and I'll go up and see if there's anybody there.
Okay. Mr. Wheeler, Ms. Peterson.
Did you want to go talk to her now, Elliot, or you want to regroup with the guys, or you want to shake down the manager?
No, I'll say let's regroup and then let's tell what's the next.
Regroup? Okay.
Okay. So you two make your way back to the Y as well, where you meet up with the others, except for Mr. Dyer. Mr. Dyer, you reach the office building. His office is on the 7th floor. Make your way up in the elevator, kind of down the hall. It's not the best office building. Clearly, these are kind of, they're all kind of small professional offices. You make your way down the hall, and you come to a door that reads Herbert Whitefield, Professional Management Services. Inside is a small one-room office. There is a desk right in front of the door with a young woman sitting at the desk. And then kind of behind that desk, there's kind of a battered, very worn-looking old couch, an old filing cabinet, and then another desk with a gentleman sitting at it who seems to be kind of bent over writing something. And the woman looks up. Yes, may I help you?
Yes, I was wondering if I could speak to Mr. Whitefield, please.
Mr. Whitefield is very busy at the moment. May I say is calling? Would you like to make an appointment?
Oh, I was hoping I'd be able to talk to him right now, and I'm going to sit on her desk and give her a really, you know, wide smile and say, yeah, I won't take much of his time at all. I just, you know, just need a few moments, darling.
She kind of inches away from where you're sitting. Well, as I said, Mr. Whitefield is very busy. If you would care to leave your name and number, I can have him give you a call, perhaps.
I'm hoping you can talk to me now. It's about the Paul Lamond case.
As soon as you say that, he looks up and he says, "What did you say?"
Mr. Whitefield? Because Nick's not very bright.
Get out. Get out of my office right now. He stands up and walks towards you.
Whoa. Wait. I just need a few moments of your time. It's for a poor grieving mother. Don't you care about mothers?
He stops and looks at you for a moment. What are you talking about?
Irene, his mother, Irene Mamon, she just wants more information. She just needs to know what happened to her son. She wants to make sure every rock has been unturned. You know, the cops aren't doing enough. She just needs a little comfort. Won't you give a grieving mother a little comfort?
Persuade roll.
No, it might have been a charm roll, but not a persuade roll.
That sounded more like either persuasion or fast talk.
I can't figure out how to do a charm on a guy. Yep.
That didn't seem very charming to me. So.
Yes, yeah, so I understand. I'm not fighting the call. Didn't seem very charming to
him
either. I'm nodding my
head
in agreement.
Irene Lamond is one of the nicest, kindest women I know, and she bakes great cookies. How dare you bring her name up? Get out!
What hired us, sir? I mean, I'm actually going to sort of stand up and sort of do a full sort of... He's a pretty big guy. She's the one who hired us. She wants us doing the facts. You're right, she's a nice guy, and she makes amazing cookies. I mean, they were the best I've ever had. I say that over my poor grandmother's grave. And I'm just telling you right now, we just want the facts. Now, are you willing to help out, or are you willing? You want to sort of stand in the way? Because I'm happy to go to the cops and tell them that you're probably a suspect in this case.
Give me some kind of proof that you're here on Irene's behalf, and maybe we can talk.
I just told you she makes the best cookies. Oh, I know her home address. She lives in, and I'm assuming I would have been the driver to get to her home address in Buffalo.
Yeah, you certainly know her address.
She lives at such and such lane in Buffalo. It's a lovely white house there, white picket fence, and she likes small ceramic cats. They're all over the house.
Any fool could have looked up her address.
How would that fool look up? She has little ceramic kitties.
Give me another persuade roll with a bonus die.
Oh, 07.
All right, fine. What do you want to know?
I want to know what you know. I want to know what you think happened. I want to be able to tell her that, you know, Paul Lamond's manager was helpful in this. Just tell me everything. What do you think happened?
I don't know anything. I think he just got stressed out and left for a while.
So I'm going to do a psychology. Just to see if I think that's what he really thinks or if he's just trying to get me out of the door.
Go right ahead.
It could be either or. It's hard to tell. No, actually, I'm going to burn some luck to get that to be a regular success.
Obviously, this is Herbert Whitefield.
Mr.
Whitefield, he's not being completely honest. He's not being completely dishonest either. He probably really doesn't know where Paul is, but he seems very nervous.
Mr. Whitefield, could we talk in your office?
We are talking in my office.
Well, you're back. He has a back office, right?
Nope, this is it.
Oh. Mr. Whitefield, I can appreciate that this is all very stressful for you. One of your chief clients has disappeared. It may all be very, very stressful for you, but I just want to assure you that I'm willing to hear whatever theory you have. There's nothing that's too crazy. Look, any ideas you have, any thoughts you have, any inklings, you know, I just want to be able to say to poor Irene that I followed up on every possible lead, no matter how crazy.
Look, I would love to be able to help out Irene. She's a lovely lady, but I do not know where Paul is. I have nothing to do with his disappearance. I was at a party at the time. The police verified it.
I don't think you do. I'm just wondering. I'm trying to figure out if you know anything that might explain what happened to him. Any ideas where he might have gone? Anything that was unusual that might have tipped him over into doing, you know, this strange action? Has there been anything unusual? Any odd calls from him? Any odd people in his life?
Make a spot hidden roll.
That's going to be a hard success.
So as you're saying that, Mr. Whitefield basically responds, "No, I've told you everything. Now please leave." But you do notice that as you are having this discussion, I guess, as you're questioning Mr. Whitefield, the secretary Betty, it looks like at a couple points in your questioning, like she starts to want to say something, but then stops herself.
Okay. Well, just to sort of move things, I mean, I don't get any sense I'm going to get any more information from Mr. Whitefield, though, right?
That is correct.
Then I will, Mr. Whitefield, I'm sorry you didn't have more information, but I will certainly tell Irene that you were as helpful as you could be. I think we all just want what's best. And I will shake his hand if he'll take it and turn, walk down the stairs, and then in my best policey type way, go across the street and wait for the secretary to leave.
Okay. He will shake your hand. You leave, you walk across the street and stand there casing the building. Just a moment after you kind of take up your position, a gentleman approaches you. Kind of a tall, fairly muscular, bearded man, blonde hair. Excuse me, Mr. Dyer?
Yes?
John Durvin, Klein Mutual Life Insurance. He hands you a business card. It says,
yes.
John Durvin, Klein Mutual Life Insurance Company.
Uh-huh. Yes. And I'm talking to him, but keeping my eyes towards the door. I don't want her slipping out.
Fairly enough. Fair enough.
Is there something I can do for you, Mr. Durvin?
You were just in meeting with Mr. Whitefield?
I was inside that building, yes.
Well, we at Klein Mutual, we hold the life insurance policy on Paul Lamond. I believe that's what you were speaking to Mr. Whitefield about.
We are doing a little work on that behalf. Yes.
Well, we believe that Mr. Whitefield is the named beneficiary on Mr. Lamond's policy.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
We believe he may have had something to do with Mr. Lamond's disappearance. Do you have any information as far as Mr. Whitefield's involvement? Did you learn anything?
So, I'm going to size him up psychology-wise with a regular success. Do I get any particular vibes off him?
Nope.
Okay.
You can make a spot hidden roll, though.
Regular success.
A little corner of his beard has come loose.
Best clue ever. That's awesome.
Well, you know, I'd be happy to share some information with you. There's probably some things. Is there a place we can meet that's a little less public, though? And I can't leave right quite now. I'm going to get a little bit more information, I think, and then I might be able to help you out. Could we meet tonight, say, at, 5 o'clock or so?
Where are you staying?
Oh, we've got a little hotel in town that we're staying at, a little B&B. I don't actually remember the name. I'm going to meet my friends later. Why don't we meet at, I'm assuming there's a diner across the street from the YMCA.
In our universe, there has to be a Denny's nearby. Yes.
New York Denny's. Excellent.
Skype of Cthulhu brought to you by Denny's. Yes, there's a Denny's, on 5th and 133rd that, why don't we meet there?
That would be just fine. I will see you then. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Jervin.
And he walks away. And let's get back to the others who have all regrouped back at the Y. Everyone except for Mr. Dyer.
Well, what'd you all come up with? We found this letter. Yeah, I know. It's been a long day. You're all asleep. It's okay.
I'm somewhere else, I guess.
I've had to look this stuff as well.
No, you're there.
This isn't true.
Yeah, everyone is at the Y except for Mr. Dyer at this point.
Am I allowed in?
They'll meet you in the lobby, I'm sure.
Okay. Or we can be at the Denny's across the road.
That's right.
That seems more appropriate.
Yeah, more likely.
Really, we should find a local bar with a punk scene.
Sure.
Did you post a letter on the document, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me go. Okay. Because that's the only important thing that we have right now.
Yeah, it seemed like he was going crazy.
Yep.
When he wrote that letter.
Yeah.
A little amnesia, a little jungle fever. It's all gone.
So Herb is the manager?
Yep.
Correct.
So, we probably want to speak to this Herb dude.
We do, but maybe not on the up and up.
Well, and we have to talk to, seemed like you had some thoughts about talking to Velma.
Yes. And Velma.
Speaking of
her address.
She must know something about his state of mind, so.
Speaking on not on the up and up. We have an idea that we can go there, not directly to ask her about Paul, but say we're making, you know, doing an interview or looking for talent or something like that.
She wants to be in a music video?
Music video? I was saying do an interview. She does. She wants to be an actress, I believe, is what she wants.
Exactly. So you said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, perfect. Video. Yeah.
We get a band. You can play on our video. Yeah.
That's perfect. How do we bring it around to Paul with that premise, though?
Well, maybe the song. The song's going to have to be some supernatural punk.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I didn't want to, you know, have to wait to rent the studio time and, you know, get her in there and the whole crew. And while we're on a break at craft services, say, hey, by the way.
Although, if we get a good video out of it, you know, it might be worth it.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe it's a song about, I mean, not directly, but we could do a disappearing guy, and then we could sort of it'd be extra cool to have her in the video because, you know, Paul's a disappearing guy, and maybe she'd fall for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's desperate.
Yeah.
I think, Jim, I kept all my skills like sleight of hand and stuff too, right?
Yep.
Excellent. So yeah, I could say yeah. We'll make it disappear, like, you know, do like a card thing or something. It's like this.
You know what you could do? Do a song about a guy who's traveling back and forwards in time to a strange world.
Sure.
Don't we already have one of those?
Yeah. Why don't we?
This is a. You want to know a strange world? You should go to the YMCA at night. First night as a man, I tell you, that is weird.
Why don't we just tell her that we came here, you know, because of him, and that since he's gone, we want her to appear on the video. We wanted to make a song about him, something like that, where he's friends.
Well, we can do tribute, both, right? So. Some of us look... straighter than others. Is Nick back yet?
Nope.
No, he's, that's right. He's on a steakhouse. Okay. Who looks normal amongst the group?
Nick and Lionel look less punk.
And Oren.
Oren,
yeah.
Oren, sorry. That's what I meant to say, yeah.
Definitely not Rory. Yeah, I was just thinking.
Don't worry. We were never... Never have that as an option.
We never consider.
So one of you guys could be like a producer, and one of you guys could be like a director or something like that. Then the rest of us just, you know, say, yeah, we're the band. Did we ever come up with a name for our band?
We might have. I feel like we did something at the very beginning of the notes. Of some names of something or other. Daughters of Osiris.
Daughters of Osiris, yeah, there we go. Right. It's time for Daughters of Osiris to make their presence known in New York City.
Indeed.
Hey, you know what? We could use some pyrotechnics.
Well, cool. But not. I mean, this isn't really going to happen, you know. we're just trying to get to talk to Velma.
I imagine Rory has that told to him quite a bit. That's not really going to happen. Yeah, so let's do that then. Let's say we're the Daughters of Osiris are making a new song. I'm the director, here's the producer, here's the band. Would you like to be in the video? Tell us about the situation so we can get some better song.
That's good.
Now, it seems like from that article in the Post that she is really going to be most convinced by something that flatters her. She doesn't seem to really care about Paul.
Right. It's the opportunity.
We need to offer to make her a star. We can't just play on her... her interest in Paul.
Yes. Agreed.
Especially if this thing about the fight's real and she actually doesn't even like him anymore. I think we might have to, we might even make one that sort of makes fun of him even or something. I mean, I don't know how we want to twist it. We'll have to see when we get there how she's sort of...
Ooh, yeah. A punk occult parody video?
Well, I didn't mean, you know, humorous making fun, but yeah, yeah.
I think we need to maybe play that depending on how she, after how we engage her. Yeah, right, exactly. Like you said, but yeah, we tell her we're looking for somebody to be in the video and new songs, and we saw you in the paper, and, you know, you look great for this kind of idea, and then you tell her some kind of idea for a video or something, like some woman in a haunted house or some, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And that the connection's just too perfect to pass up. She's looking for work. Got a psychic missing boyfriend, and really gels and jives.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll
yeah.
have some really good pyrotechnics in the video, of course, Rory.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
find her at home.
Okay, so you were all headed to Velma.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Let us cut back to Mr. Dyer on the street. So after about an hour of waiting. Are you there, Sean?
Muted, maybe.
It says muted. Skype says muted.
He's probably muted then.
Can you hear me now?
Ah, there we go. Yeah. Yes.
That's so weird. Skype self-muted me. I only use the mute on my headphone, and yet somehow it... Yeah. Anyway, yes, I'm standing outside waiting for the secretary to leave.
The secretary doesn't leave, but you do see Mr. Whitefield come out of the building, hail a cab, get into it, and the cab pulls away.
Then I will rush back to his office, leaping up the flights of stairs in the creaky old hallway, and head back to his office on, I think it was the third floor.
It was the seventh floor, but that's okay.
That's a long run then. I might need a con roll. But...
Not a problem. You can eventually make it up there, huffing and puffing.
Yes.
Just as Betty is kind of coming out the door, and she appears to be closing the door, Oh, Mr. Dyer, you're back. I'm sorry, Mr. Whitefield just left.
Oh, Betty, I didn't come talk to him. I really need to talk to you. I feel like you and I had a connection, and I feel like you know more than you were saying. I just wonder if you could give me a little bit of your time. I flash her a winning smile.
Give me a charm roll.
Oh, thank God. And I fail. Actually, you know what? I never do this. I'm going to push it.
That's nice. Okay.
Tell me the consequences if I fail.
I'm sorry. I really do have to get home. I need to pick up my son from daycare.
All right. Well, I'm going to put my arm on the rail as she's sort of blocking her from going and say, oh, please, just a few moments. It's for a grieving mother. You know what it's like to be a mother.
She starts to look a little creeped out.
Yep. Let's find out how creeped out. Oh, she's very creeped out.
She pushes past you.
Yep. Yeah.
No, get it. Ew, get away. And rushes down to the elevators. Give me a luck roll.
Nope, not there either.
Okay. Apparently having remembered to lock the door before running away from you.
All right. Well, I guess I will go back to the YMCA. And that I'm still enough of a cop not to break down the door. I don't have a spare Rory in my pocket, so.
Okay. You make your you get back to the Y just as the others are coming out. For the sake of narrative convenience.
Hey Nick.
Wow.
Hey, we got addresses for the girlfriend and the manager. You want to check out the manager while we go over? No.
Yeah, so I had a I may have gone a little off the rails a little bit. Hopefully things will be okay. And I will relate to them everything that happened, including the encounter with the insurance guy.
Oh, that's weird. Just,
yeah, no, I.
How do you think you got your name? We got some listening device in the office there?
I don't know. It's kind of like that woman who could call us in Salem, even though we live in Providence. There's a lot going on here that we don't understand.
Well, she's connected to Paul. I tend to, with all we've seen, I tend to believe that Paul is the real thing. You know, but this guy, I don't know. You think maybe he's like Mercy? He's a witch?
I don't know. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe Paul got scared.
Hmm. That'd be kind of funny having an insurance salesman. I mean, a witch dressed up as an insurance salesman.
Did you see where he went?
No, but he's going to meet me at the local Denny's with quality food.
Oh, right here?
At 5:30, yeah.
And affordable prices.
But I also think that, you know, Whitfield I don't think knows anything in particular. He was covering up something, but I think Betty, his secretary, does. But I don't think it's a good idea for me to go back to Betty again. But somebody might be able to get something from her.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, so what? I'm completely off on the time frame here. Apparently, when is the meeting with the insurance guy relative to now?
Let's say it's in like half an hour.
Okay. So we got to hold off on the girlfriend.
Right.
Well, we could split up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true too. I think
it seems like it might be worth having somebody watch you talk to him. Like, you know, in the next booth over. We've got half an hour. We could set that up now.
Definitely need some backup.
In case he needs backup.
Wait, who's joining me?
Well, I don't think anyone should join you.
Yes, I'm sure Rory can be quiet and stealthy.
Yeah, no, Rory, they really need you to sell the supernatural punk song. I mean, there's nobody here who's more punk than you, Rory.
But yeah, because I'm thinking somebody might want to follow this guy when he leaves, and also just listen in on the conversation.
I could do that. Sitting in a Denny's, having some sort of slam, and listening in from the next booth.
Yeah,
Oren could do that.
No one's going to notice Oren.
Or any of us better follow him
to the girlfriend's place.
What would that be? Stealth for a follow?
Yes.
So, yeah, Lucy, or Luce, is really good at that. Is anybody else good? Because that's really what we want, too.
Yeah, the two of you could sit there. It'd make more sense to have two people sitting in a booth, talking to each other and eating slams than just one.
I'm going to need some kind of hoodie so I don't stand out with my new hair. I look fabulous.
You do look pretty awesome there. And then the rest of us get over and talk to see what Velma's up to.
I will eat some waffles with Lucy right up and the arts can talk to me.
Okay.
Sorry, what'd you say, Randall?
I will eat some waffles with Lucy.
Oh, so you're staying. So three of you are going to watch Nick and only two of us are headed over to, okay.
Yeah.
The all-day breakfast.
Man, we're getting more inconspicuous by the minute.
Exactly. Well, maybe you could occupy two booths, and then you'd be separated from each other. So Lionel and Rory, it sounds like, are going to talk to Velma.
Yeah.
And Elliot has been warned. Just wait on Velma.
I was thinking that for Velma, we should kind of the whole setup, you know, the camera and all that, and, you know, at least.
No. We're just talking. We just got to get her. We're not going over with the camera. I mean, it's not like we want to go shoot a video. We just want to talk to her for a while. Wouldn't that be weird to show up with cameras and everything?
Yeah. We want to talk to her about interest in the music video. I mean, and we got to talk to her about, you know, how she feels about explosions and that sort of stuff.
I'm sure we got some kind of sound equipment or something in the van, you know, we can go, yeah, say, check your voice levels or something, you know, or something like that. We don't have to go, you know, we'd have to rent equipment for the camera and everything. We just do something small like that.
Well, I'm hoping we just go and talk to her and then leave.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't actually going to make a video.
Why not? This is a good chance. We could really push Daughter of Osiris into, well, not mainstream, but alternative mainstream.
This is the
MTV. If she checks out, if she checks out and it looks good, sure, we can go with it. Right. But I'm just wondering if it's just the two of us going to talk to her, or if the two of us should, you know, we could go peace out for a while, and after you guys are done talking to, watching Nick talk to this Durbin guy, then we could all head over.
Well, exactly. That's what I was thinking more.
All right. Well, we'll do that then.
Is anybody else good like Lucy, like with the tail or something like that?
No.
If we want to. Okay, so I'm going to be the only one that follows that. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to Denny's to wait for these guys to come back.
No, we're not going to Denny's. We're going to anywhere except Denny's.
We're going to find a good punk pub.
There you go. Yes, let's go find a good punk bar. And let's, yeah, exactly. You go dance for a while. That'll be good.
This is the first time that we've seen Lionel get angry.
So Mr. Cockrell and Miss McEwen are going to distract Rory for a while. And then the others are headed to Denny's. Is that the approach?
That's the plan, yes.
Okay. To the adult playground. Go mosh for a bit, Rory.
Yeah.
Take out that aggression.
So Rory can be distracted, no problem. Mr. Wheeler, Mr. Weston, Ms. Peterson, you settle yourselves into Denny's. Mr. Dyer, I assume you're going to get a booth by yourself. Is that the?
I think that's the plan. Is I'm getting a booth next to theirs by myself. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I will sit and order a slam as well, because they're tasty and delicious and just the thing a growing investigator needs.
The cornerstone of an American breakfast.
Yes, indeed. So not too much longer, Mr. Devon shows up. He looks around, clearly sees you. Somebody will need to explain what a slam is for our our foreign investigators and listeners, I'm sure. We'll have the full Denny's ad at the end of the show. So Mr. Devon shows up. Mr. Dyer, good to see you again. May I sit?
Yes, of course. Please do.
And he does.
He's reattached his beard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So what were you able to learn?
Well, I'm interested to hear that you think that it was Whitefield that is responsible. I mean, he maintains he has an alibi for it.
Well, just because he has an alibi doesn't mean he's not responsible.
Oh.
Klein Mutual, our working theory at the moment is that his secretary, Miss Avery, I'm sure you met her when you were in Mr. Whitefield's office.
Yes, I think so. Yes, she was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we believe that Mr. Whitefield had Miss Avery convince Paul to go away somewhere for a romantic weekend for which he never came back. Or sorry, for a romantic evening. And that Mr. Whitefield hired someone to disappear Mr. Lamond at that point.
Huh. Well, that is a bold bold accusation. I mean, how did you reach that conclusion? Did you talk to Miss Avery?
We have, yes, we have.
Ah, and she confessed to this?
Well, not in so many words, no, but...
Well, sorry, you'll have to excuse me. I used to be a police officer. We kind of are concerned about words. And what do you mean when you say that he... not so many words?
Well, she didn't come right out and admit it, but... As a seasoned investigator yourself, I'm sure you understand that, you know, you can get hints and information from people even when they don't say things directly.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I guess I don't have much more to add to your already top-notch investigation. Is there a way I can reach you if I find out any more information?
No, I don't think that will be necessary. I think our own investigation will be sufficient. Thank you for your time, Mr. Dyer.
One last thing. I was just wondering.
He stands up and looks at you as you're finished talking.
Yeah, I just so you're saying there's no way that I can reach you at your office at the insurance company? I mean, we may get more information. We're not done yet.
Yes, of course. If you can contact me there.
Ah, all right. Well, sorry I couldn't be more helpful to you. I feel like I've wasted your time a little bit, but it was nice meeting you. And I stand up and I reach out my hand to shake it.
And he shakes your hand and then leaves.
Okay, so I will get up to follow at that point. Of course, in some complicated technical way that I don't understand because I don't follow people, but Lucy does.
I'll go with you.
No.
Okay, Miss Peterson, and yes, of course. Mr. Wheeler, make a stealth roll.
Oh, well, hold on. I thought we worked together. Did he,
No, you're together. You're together. The question is, for you, Randall, is are you going to join Miss Peterson as she attempts to follow the insurance agent?
We chose Lucy because she was stealthy.
Yeah, you go.
I think you should, Mr. Wheeler. Absolutely.
Lucy, I think we've had a lot of these, so it's not all that special, but I got an ot 4, so there's been a lot of low rolls today. We've been lucky. So okay. He slips out like the knight.
Give me a spot hidden roll.
Spot.
Match our many failed rolls.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, speaking of failed rolls, that's a 65, so that's going to fail the spot.
Okay. So, Rogers... Sorry, not Rogers. Who is this? Durvin.
Durvin or Devin?
Durvin. D-E-R-V-I-N. Durvin.
Yep.
Leaves the Denny's. He turns and he starts walking down the street. You follow him. It doesn't seem like he's noticed you.
It was an extreme, by the way. Yep. I said the number, but not the kind.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
He walks about 6 or 7 blocks. In at this point, kind of into the Hell's Kitchen area.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighborhood is definitely getting rougher. And turns into one of the smaller apartment buildings and walks inside.
Okay. If it seems reasonable that I could, maybe peek inside the glass and see if he's getting in an elevator or something like that without... Yeah, again, it all depends on what kind of building it is, like what the entrance is like and all that kind of stuff. But if she can peek to see where he's going, like if he runs up the steps or, you know, walks up the steps or is getting on an elevator or something like that. Elevator would be nice because then I could see what floor he's on.
Give me another stealth roll.
Stealth. Okay. Another odd 4. Exactly the same.
Yep. So the door is not in a big hurry to close, so you can kind of make your way up the stoop, kind of peek inside, and you see that he goes up one flight of stairs to a landing, and opens the door right there, and you can see the number on the door, 2-something.
Perfect.
Apartment 21, and goes inside.
Okay, perfect. These are residential apartments, right?
That is correct.
Okay. That is enough information for me to bring back to the gang. I will slip back and see if there's anyone still at Denny's or whatever. Now we know where to look this guy up. Or did maybe Nick got a number from him. He can say I have more information, and during that time we can go toss this guy's place. But anyway, whatever. That's information for them when I get back.
I presume everyone is still waiting there.
Who can walk away from a meal like this?
Nobody. Nobody can walk away. We are all just stuck.
Here's the scoop. I tell him what I found and what I just said. Maybe we hold off till tomorrow on this guy, on this Dervin, and go talk. Well, I don't know if Rory's here or not, but that would be the wrong choice of words in front of Rory. But maybe go talk to the girlfriend now.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's kind of lead in that conversation, and we should find someone to do it. So we are not all talking at the same time.
You mean when we go to the apartment with the punk?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I'm mainly going to be there as window dressing for the band. I think the director or producer, whoever does that, should do the talking.
We're a little older.
Well, Nick's our old guy.
That's true. The
old guy, 28. He's practically ancient.
He's almost nearing retirement.
Oh, sorry, 27. Yeah.
Rory's not that far behind you. He's 25.
Yeah, but he doesn't look it.
He's like 25, going on 14.
His probable lifespan is much less than this.
As long as there's 8 sanity points lost.
When you've reached the point, the keeper doesn't even make you roll sanity anymore.
I mean, I'm happy to play the role of director here, I guess.
Okay. Already? Let's go then.
Good. That's cool.
Okay, so are you guys going to, I presume you're going to stop and collect the Rory diversion crowd? So everyone is...
Yeah, we can do this one en masse, I think.
Okay, you can certainly collect the others and head to the address that you have for Miss Peters.
As we're heading there, so what are we actually trying to find out from her? We want to find out about state of mind or whether she knows anything about whether she's heard from him or...
We want to know if she knows anything about anything, basically. You know, it, we'll tell her, like you said, this is a little so close that, you know, we kind of want to base a song on it. So if she's got anything of Paul's, you know, maybe we could talk to him if she knows where he went, things like that, maybe.
Yeah, this Betty theory is kind of funny because I wonder if she thinks that Paul would go on a date with somebody else, I guess, if they had this fight. There's a few landmines here to step around.
I guess he was acting kind of angry at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, though, remember, she may have had something to do with it, too, so, you know, be careful. This may be another one of those situations like we had with the wife of that professor who was supposed to go to the witch thing.
Only
actually dangerous this time.
Because she wasn't. And even those nice ladies at the museum, yeah, didn't seem like they were. You might be a little paranoid there.
Technically, she's not part of the authority that I hate so much, but you know, she could be.
Right. Sure. Yeah, anyone could be. You just never know.
That's right.
All right.
That's how they impress you.
That's right. Okay.
You reach Miss Peters' apartment building. It is not the best. Knock on the door.
Yeah.
And she opens the door. She's an attractive young woman, kind of wearing, you know, kind of torn jeans and a flannel shirt. Her hair is a little tousled, and you can see looking into her apartment that it's not dirty, but it's kind of messy. You know, there's clothes strewn over the back of the couch and. Kind of see into the small kitchen, you know, stack of dishes in the sink. Yes, can I help you?
Velma Peterson. I'm L. Jonathan Cockrell. I'm the producer and director for Daughters of Osiris, punk band. We were hoping we could talk with you a little bit.
She looks at you for a second. Mr. Cockrell, you said?
Cockrell, yeah.
Daughters of Osiris. Oh, yes, of course. I love the Daughters of Osiris. Please, please, come in.
Thanks. I have no idea if she's lying. Awesome. I'll find out later. Yeah, so I guess we'll shuffle in here.
Who are the rest of you?
Yeah, so this is... This is Kimberly, the drummer, and Luce, the lead singer.
Pleased to meet you.
This is Rory, our other lead singer. Am I making? Hello. I don't even remember.
I'm a Roydy, actually.
Oh yeah, I'm just stuff up.
That's okay. He's just for chill.
Oh, the rest of the band. Of course. I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize you. Not on stage. Please come in. And she kind of starts throwing stuff, you know, throwing clothes, you know, out of the living room, kind of just tossing them back into the bedroom. And please have. I'm sorry. I don't have room for everyone to sit. But what can I do for you, Mr. Cockrell? And she kind of starts trying to fix her hair.
Have we actually released anything? Would she really have a way of knowing us?
No.
I don't think so. Okay. No. Interesting. Well, Miss Peterson, we are
Peters.
We're thinking of doing a video. We've been having it in the makes for a while. It was gonna be just a supernatural tribute, and then we got into this idea of doing one about LeMond, and then we thought, oh, you know who would rock that video? Velma Petersen would make that video just sing like crazy.
As you're talking, she's trying to fix her hair up, and she kind of tugs at her shirt and undoes a couple buttons on the top and kind of pulls at the bottom and tries to pull the shirt tight and, you know, very clearly trying to make herself more appealing.
Yep.
Which she is. I mean, she's an attractive woman. She's just, you know, not really looking her best right now.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Of course. I've done tons of music videos. To do a video with the Daughters of Osiris, that would be amazing. Of course, I would love to participate. I'd love to join. I'm a great dancer.
Awesome.
Would you like to see some moves?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Definitely.
She looks around her apartment. She pulls out a tape deck, and she pops in a tape, and presses play, and it's the Thompson Twins, and she starts dancing.
Oh, nice.
Kimberly's digging it.
That's great.
Some dance appreciation rolls.
Sure.
What would that be? I have
like art dance, drums. I guess, or art. I don't know.
Just make some rolls.
I roll a 93.
Oren decidedly does not have that skill.
74. I pull a tape of our music and go, what do you think about dancing to this? And put our music on.
She kind of looks a little stunned for a moment, and then starts trying to dance, and she's really just kind of doing the same thing that she did before.
So Velma, if I may, Velma, we were hoping. So we had this song written, and then LeMond disappeared, and we thought, well, maybe you could actually help us rewrite some of the song, you know, give us some background. And then when you're in the song, I mean, boy, that would just be amazing. I think it's going to go straight to the top of the charts here. What do you know about him? Why were you so important to him?
Oh, well, you know, Paul and I, we're in love, but we broke up a little while ago. Oh, he's such a great guy, though. He's a wonderful person. It, you know, just sometimes these things just don't work out. And he was over here. He was trying to get back together, and you know, maybe things could have worked out, but you know, then he left and he disappeared.
Oh, so he was over here trying to make up with you? You guys had a fight or something?
Well, I wouldn't call it a fight. Just a little disagreement. We were just taking a break. We were taking a break from each other.
Hmm. So when we spoke to him a couple months ago, he started talking about this rad world with the. Like he was describing this jungle and these buildings and everything. Did he ever talk to you about that?
Oh, he said he had some crazy dreams when he was a child.
Oh, but nothing recent, huh?
No, nothing he talked to me about.
Oh, really? Why wouldn't he talk to you? I mean, it seems like if anyone would talk to anybody, they'd talk to you.
Well, I'm sure you're right, but that was all in the past.
Oh, okay. So he hasn't. Oh, because yeah, it seemed like he was talking about it again just like a month or so ago. Well, that's kind of strange. So he was just over here, and he seemed perfectly normal, and then he left.
Yeah, that's it. He was He was sorry for our fight, and he wanted to get back together. And I told him I would think about it. You know, maybe. but he was also a little upset about Herb.
What about Herb?
I don't really trust Herb all that much. He refused to manage me.
Really? Why would he have done that? He must not be able to see talent.
Well, that's right. That's not like you. I mean, clearly you, Mr. Cockrell, you're a great judge of talent. But this great band you have, and now you're here talking to me. So tell me more about this video. What are we going to do? When can we start?
Sure. So we're going to start with some. It's going to be an excellent pyrotechnics display. It's going to be the face of a spirit. So the fireworks are going to explode into the face of a spirit. And that's going to be with this awesome drum solo. And then I think as the smoke from the fireworks disappear, it's just going to be you in the spotlight. And then we'll have the band start, you know, singing, and eventually bring the band up into the video. And well, as I said, we've got to finish writing the rest of it, but I think it's going to be amazing.
Did Paul
especially
leave
with you in the center part?
Did Paul leave any of his things over here when you broke up? Maybe I can get a feel for the kind of guy he was or something when I write the song. You know,
we could put some stuff of his in the video.
Yeah.
It's like a scarf or a notebook or something. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
She kind of looks around and she starts to look a little bit upset. She's like, no, I don't have anything of his. I'm sorry. But the video sounds awesome. I'm totally on board. Let's go. Let's do it.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So let's meet at and I'll name the bar that the three of us went to with Rory just a bit ago. In 48 hours.
Does it have to be so long? Okay, of course. That sounds great.
Yeah, we've got to get the cameras and, you know, we got to get everything ready. It's you know, we don't just want to do this just haphazardly. We've got to, you know, get all the timing right and get the stage booked and all that.
Oh, that's so professional. Do I need to sign anything or?
Yeah, we'll send a contract over tomorrow for you.
Okay, great. That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much. I can't wait to work with you.
It's going to be great.
She's perfect.
She is perfect. Yeah, we might send someone over to help her learn some new dance moves tomorrow, too. We'll see.
I could teach her some basic punk dance moves.
It's time for you to leave, Rory. And I'll give her a wink as I lead Rory away.
Poor Rory.
And you guys take your leave.
All right. Oops, I guess we ignore Elliot's attempt at...
We get to the... We can call her and tell her, you know, okay, let's wait at the... this restaurant to go over some details. What do you expect?
You think she's got something in her apartment?
Well, we can go and try to find something because we don't know anything about the time she was at the hospital, right? Maybe
Wait. What do you mean she was at the hospital?
Wasn't she the one that or am I making stuff up?
I think so. I think you had one too many fried eggs.
Yes, sorry. Yes, I'm mixing.
Yeah, we haven't found that guy. We haven't found.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The one that was, yeah.
The Traveling Rogers or something, yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah, she, it sounds like, I mean, she was really into the whole idea. And when we mentioned, you know, Paul's stuff, I think she would have brought out anything she had. I think if there's anything in there, it's something she doesn't realize, which is possible, right?
Right, right.
But it seems like, I was going to say, it seems like that Dervin and Herb are the strong leads, is my guess.
Well, or the jungle.
Well, the jungle is something, yeah.
I mean, what if there's a beast that right. took him away from his apartment, like he thought was happening?
Well, what did it seem like anybody had been inside the apartment? You said a few things were missing, but
it looked like the police had been there or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Did you go in his bedroom or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Went all through it, huh?
Must have. Yeah.
Here. The beast waits out there.
The weird thing about that is you would think if he was taken from his apartment, it would be trashed a little bit. And if someone had gone in and cleaned up afterwards, then it would have been neater than what you found.
Well, I'm thinking he might have left, right? He says, I don't remember the way. I'm afraid I'll get lost. I must see Velma, but the beast waits out there. So I'm wondering if he left, got lost, and ended up who knows in what world.
Yeah.
I think her dude is – being or maybe lying he to just... everybody. I think we got to rough up Herb and get the truth from him.
Well, there's Herb, but the most suspicious thing is the guy with the fake beard.
Fake beard, yeah.
Yeah, so we know where he lives. I mean, did he give you a contact number, Nick, or something? Again, you could always say you have information or something and meet me at the restaurant and we'll go in there. Or else there's always Rory's way. Right, Rory?
Yep, most definitely.
I mean, yes, we could mess him up.
He gave Mr. Dyer a business card.
Yeah.
Right.
This guy's
got a telephone number.
This guy is not working for the insurance company, whatever his deal is.
Actually, I don't know that. Jim, is there a telephone number on the card?
Yes, there is.
Okay. All right.
There's a company name, number, address.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did you check into this insurance company and see if they're real? Are they in the phone book?
I was going to, but we kept jumping from thing to thing. So, but next time,
that back to why?
There's a lot of good leads. Yeah.
In the meantime, enjoy a wholesome breakfast.
The Promise commercial. I love it.
And I think on the Denny's commercial, that's a good place to leave it for the week.
All right.
Cool.
Nice. All
right. Thanks, Jim.
Good times. Right, yeah. Take care, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't know why you all have to get Rory to go in the opposite direction.
We'll set him loose eventually. Don't worry.
They're just waiting for the right moment.
All right. Cheers, all.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.